Morning, Margo. My name is Bob Dineen. I am the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Ms. Ogay and Dr. Glauber, I really want to thank you for convening this hearing. And I want to commend EPA and USDA and the Department of Energy for working to get this important rule out. I can't think of any more important regulation that needs to get out for this country's energy and environmental security than this particular effort. And I commend EPA as well for the commendable efforts to reach out to stakeholders, to involve all parties in the development of this rule. You've been very open. You've been willing to meet with everybody to discuss this. And I think that that is extraordinary. Having said all that, we obviously do have some issues with the proposal. We will be filing significant comments on each of the issues I'd like to just flag for your attention today. The most serious issue that we see is indeed the life cycle analysis that EPA has done, and specifically the inclusion of international indirect effects. There is so much uncertainty with respect to trying to account for international impacts of this rule that I think it renders the regulatory process incapable of determining a specific number. The uncertainty of the models, the way the models have been cobbled together using 9 separate models and data sets, none of which were designed to answer the question EPA is asking these models to answer, presents a great deal of difficulty for us. I appreciate the fact that you have put into the docket a lot of information about this modeling. We will need to replicate what EPA has done in order to be able to comment specifically on some of the assumptions. We do have some concerns with some of the assumptions that EPA has made. We think, for example, that it has greatly underestimated increases in yields, that it has underestimated the impact of distiller's feed, that it has underestimated or used very conservative assumptions with regard to the bushels of grain per acre, all of which will have a significant impact on this analysis. These models will need to be validated against real-world data, and I'm not sure that that is possible given the way the models have been cobbled together. In addition to just the concerns about life cycle analysis, we have concerns about the definition for renewable biomass, the requirement that the ethanol producers demonstrate and obtain documentation verifying that the renewable feedstock is coming from existing cropland, as grain markets are fungible, and we will be getting feedstock from a variety of different sources, including grain elevators that may not track the grain. Some of this we just believe is impractical, and we do not believe that it has a significant impact, as there is so little new cropland that would be potentially coming into existence, and tying that to renewable fuel demand we think will be specious. So we've got some real concerns about that. We also believe that the rule could be made significantly better if ethanol producers were allowed to have a mechanism to demonstrate that the carbon footprint of their particular plant is different than the various boxes that EPA has identified. The California Air Resources Board, for example, has allowed an on-site specific process for plants to demonstrate a different carbon footprint. And we think that that's something that EPA should do as well. The grandfathering provisions that you have laid out, we generally support. We are indeed very much opposed to some of the alternatives that are set out in the proposal. We commend EPA for recognizing the issue of the blend wall and for taking comments on that. We do support moving beyond 10% blends, and we encourage EPA to look at that issue very seriously in this rulemaking. Ms. Ogie, I've got a number of different issues as well. In the interest of time, I'll probably just leave my statement for you, but then again reiterate that we will be providing detailed comments on these and many other subjects as the rulemaking moves forward.